Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Well, about that Rolling Stone cover, the one featuring the soft-focus selfie of accused marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev. Bostonians have had a day now to process and think about the cover, and here's what people in Copley Square are saying today. Some of them had just donated blood at a blood drive in honor of injured MBTA transit officer Richard Donahue.
I don't think it was appropriate. They could have gone with a better cover. It just looked like they were making him look like a rock star, and not what he is.
It was a little bit unsensitive toward the people that actually suffered the tragedy. He is not a celebrity at all. He's just a very bad person.
I feel like it's not a big deal. That's basically all the same face he's been making throughout the whole ordeal. I feel like there really wasn't any other picture to choose.
Well, it makes him look really attractive and appealing for the girls, and makes it look like, you know, hey, he can be a murderer, but he's hot, so why not? Let's create a fan page. Just makes it look what everything happened, like, in the minimal scale.
I mean, we're reminded of it every day, but to be able to go into a store and pick up a periodical that's in your face, I was not too happy with that at all. Them trying to feed me any information about this kid and what his story is, I actually have no interest. Personally, I don't care what went wrong. I care that he took the time to injure unsuspecting Americans that were at a joyful event.
Well, some reaction there to the Rolling Stone cover from people in Copley Square today. Now, remember, if you haven't seen that cover, there's a link to it at our website, radioboston.org, or you can go to our Facebook page as well to check it out. We're interested to know what you think. Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Because in this case, context really matters, because it's not just any magazine cover, it's Rolling Stone. And it's not just the picture, it's the headline that went along with it. The headline read, "The Bomber, How a Popular, Promising Student Was Failed by His Family, Fell into Radical Islam, and Became a Monster." The failed by his family part caught our attention. It also caught David Leonard's attention. He's an associate professor in the Department of Critical Culture, Gender, and Race Studies at Washington State University in Pullman. And he joins us now. David Leonard, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. So, you know, we're 24 hours now past the initial shock and emotional reaction to seeing that picture of Jahar Tsarnaev on Rolling Stone. But you've written before about how there are some particular aspects of high-profile cases which maybe we need to take a closer look at in terms of how they are portrayed in the media. And one of those aspects is the fact that race plays a role here. Now, can you explain what you mean in this particular case?
Well, I think when we look at the cover, we have to understand its place within this larger landscape of violence, of terrorism, of moments where violence is inflicted in our communities. And in particular instances, most notably, we can think in the last year in Aurora, Colorado, in Newtown, the response has been an effort to explain how and why this could happen, to explain how good all-American kids turned into monsters. Those aren't the stories we tell about gang violence, say, in Chicago. We don't seek to understand what turned one individual into a gang member. So in many ways, it's a way to create order and stability in a moment of fear and anxiety.
So it's not just the fact that the crimes themselves are extraordinary or exceptional, but the fact that those accused, or in some cases they get as far as having been convicted of them, seem to be initially not extraordinary or not exceptional in their whiteness. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Yeah, in their whiteness, in their middle class status, in their geography where they grew up. So yes, there's multiple things going on here. And I think this effort to portray Tsarnaev as a boy next door, as a rock star, as someone said in the opening, as this hot teenager fits within that narrative. It fits with he was in the past. He could have been a rock star, but something derailed that. Something led him on the path towards being a monster. And that's a particular narrative that is only reserved for white, middle-class, suburban youth, or is for the most part reserved in that context. And I think that's comforting. I think it brings order to the discussion where we can talk about, well, what do we need to do so he would have stayed on the path to a rock star as opposed to become this quote-unquote monster.
Well, David Leonard, I'm wondering about the peculiarities of the case of Jahar Tsarnaev, because you mentioned some other names, Adam Lanza, suspected of the Newtown shooting, James Holmes, the Aurora, Colorado alleged shooter, Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, even from Columbine. Their pictures all appeared on various magazine covers throughout the years, but I don't recall that instantaneous outrage being generated when, say, the multiple photographs of Adam Lanza graced just about every national publication there is out there.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Time magazine cover with the Columbine shooters, it's very humanizing. It makes them look like, little innocent kids. And so I think the outrage reflects the anxiety, the tension, the outrage that the image of the terrorist doesn't mesh up with the image that is seen. And so he doesn't fit the stereotype of what the terrorist is. He doesn't fit the stereotype and the kind of dominant imagination of what whiteness is. And so that immediate reaction reflects or that the ways in which he is seen differently than, the Columbine kids. And so I think that's telling.
The sort of complication here is the fact that, as you're saying, he doesn't, Tsarnaev doesn't fit the typical preconceived notion of particularly Islamic terrorism, right?
Yes. He doesn't fit. People will continue to say on various sites that, he's not white. Well, if we look at the history of racial classification, someone like Johann Blumenbach, who coined the term Caucasian, he was referring to the region of the Caucasus Mountains, which that's what we're talking about. That's where his family is from. But he doesn't match up with the notions of whiteness, and therefore the narratives that are seemingly okay when presented with or for people like James Holmes and Adam Lanza isn't acceptable.
Well,
in this context,
let's take a quick call here. Listeners, I'm speaking with David Leonard. He's associate professor in the Department of Critical Culture, Gender, and Race Studies at Washington State University at Pullman. He's written extensively about the way the media treats suspects in high-profile crimes and cases of terrorism. He wrote after the Newtown shootings about depictions of Adam Lanza in the media, and he joins us now to talk about the Rolling Stone cover that features accused marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev. Let's turn to Mary, who's calling from Mansfield. You're on the air, Mary.
Hi. I had originally called because I disagreed with most of the comments taken from Copley Square, and I'm very interested in your guest and his thoughts. I really don't think of Tsarnaev in the same vein as Adam Lanza or the man from Colorado, because I think that's what's provocative about the Rolling Stone cover, and what makes people anxious is that he is not the sociopath. He's not the loner. He is, in fact, a good-looking young 18-year-old student who had a great deal of promise and who, like many other students coming into the city of Boston, to the universities was adopted by them. And I think the tension and anxiety that Bostonians feel and greater Massachusetts, that they feel when they see this kind of portrayal is a real anxiety about how to identify, you know, a terrorist versus the sociopath like Adam Lanza, who had never been accepted really in his community.
Mary, I'm going to take it from you there because you make an interesting point. Thank you so much for your call. David Leonard, your response to Mary?
I think she raises important points, but one, there's a lot of mythology around, and there's been a lot written about, you know, say, Columbine and the myths that were presented that kind of reinforce the narrative that Mary's offering about them being sociopaths and loners. And we don't know that about Adam Lanza. We have presumed that and then sought evidence to confirm that narrative. And so the question I'm asking is, what sort of stories, what sort of media frames do we seek depending on the person who's committing the violence, but depending on the victims of those acts of violence? So I think it's more complicated than that, but I do think she raises a really important point about anxiety, about fear, and how these different narratives fit within that feeling of fear and elicit and work to elicit a sense of security and safety. Because if we can find out what led him to become a monster, then we can create policies, we can monitor, we can surveil, we can change the quote-unquote assimilation process, which is, I think, one of the things the Rolling Stone article hints at. Well, do we have those conversations in other contexts? Or do we say, well, some people are just evil, we need to lock them up?
Meaning, do we have the conversation when the suspect is brown or black?
Yes, and we don't. We don't. Not only do we not have that conversation when the suspect is black or Latino or Middle Eastern, we don't have that conversation when the victims are that. I think in a week where Trayvon Martin has been rendered a criminal by many, has been blamed for his own death, it's striking how he's been denied his story. It's striking that we seek, you know, again, these comforting narratives. And there are plenty of examples that show these really differential narratives that really come back to notions of security, safety, anxiety.
Well, David Leonard, let me take a couple more calls here. Alex is calling from Mission Hill in Boston. You're on the air, Alex.
Hi, thanks for having me. I wanted to call in and say, I think with issues like this, we need to examine them from whatever angle we can and really try to understand as much about the whole situation as we can. And I think we need to be careful not to be afraid at looking at it, even from the person who committed this atrocity, even from their angle and seeing what led them to this point. But also, I do wonder about the dangers of how much there's like sort of a negative glorification of these people. And it's not just the Rolling Stone cover, but just all the media coverage. You know, Tsarnaev brothers are in some ways like a negative celebrity. And I worry that creates incentive for other people who are just like-minded in this twisted way, and how we can address that sort of issue.
Right. I take your point, Alex. There's always a tension between the very understandable drive for the community to understand as a whole why certain horrible things happen, and yet at the same time, does the very fact of covering it extensively turn into a form of negative celebrity, as you said. Alex, thank you so much for your call. I want to get one more call in here from Karen, who's calling from Swampscott. You're on the air, Karen.
Hi. I worked at Beth Israel Hospital and was at work when the bombing occurred, and we had news stations from all over the country. I think it was big news for a day. We shouldn't glorify this kid. He definitely should not be on the Rolling Stones cover. Maybe the article's valid, but he does not need to be on the cover. You would have sold it anyways with a nice country music star or rock star. Anyways, I think what you're doing is important, covering race, but this had nothing to do with race. This was more of a religion. This was a hatred of America. And maybe you could, if you are examining race or why it happens, just offer the no death penalty to tell us why he did it. But he deserves to be punished.
Karen, thank you so much for your call. David Leonard, Karen's call makes me think that this is a particularly special conversation. I'm delighted that you're joining us because we are here in Boston. We are Radio Boston and WBUR. This happened in our community. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking to myself that Rolling Stone is it's a national magazine. It has a national audience in mind. But in the communities where these atrocities take place, how are individuals, I mean, I guess we just have the reactions that we have, but is it a different set of questions or conversations to be had within those communities?
Yeah, I think very much so. I mean, I think we can talk about this at an intellectual level, and we can talk about it at an analytical level, and I think those are important conversations to have. But I also think in any context, we need to recognize the way in which trauma is playing out, and that the image, and maybe specific to this image on Rolling Stone, but maybe any image, will spark anxiety because of the trauma. And I do think that's an important point. But I guess I would ask listeners to push themselves to think how we should do that in every context, how we shouldn't turn violence, pain, death into a spectacle. And that is something that we often fall into the trap of, because this is real trauma that people are feeling, and I think we do need to account for that. And my challenge here is that we need to account for it in every context and afford every community that same level of concern for how violence is affecting each and every family, each and every person.
Well, David Leonard is the associate professor in the Department of Critical Culture, Gender, and Race Studies at Washington State University in Pullman. He's also author of Screens Fade to Black, Contemporary African American Cinema. He's written extensively about the media's portrayal of various high-profile suspects and criminals. You can find links to his articles at our website, radioboston.org. David Leonard, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, stick with us. There's more of the show coming up in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.